The views expressed on the Making It Matter podcast are that of Gunnar Esiason, Julia Ray, and guests, and not necessarily those of the Boomer Esiason Foundation. Nothing in the Making It Matter podcast should be considered medical advice. Such advice can only be given by a physician who is experienced with cystic fibrosis. The Boomer Esiason Foundation, Gunnar Esiason, Julia Ray, and guests cannot be held responsible for any damage which may result from using the information on this podcast without the permission of your medical doc. You're listening to the Making It Matter podcast with Gunnar Esiason and Julia Ray, presented by the Boomer Esiason Foundation and GunnarEsiason.com.
Hey there, it's Gunnar Esiason, and thanks for joining Julia and I for episode 30 of the Making It Matter podcast series, Living with a Roommate.
Hi, everyone. Making It Matter is a weekly podcast presented by the Boomer Esiason Foundation and GunnarEsiason.com, highlighting the challenges that people with CF face and the people who face them.
Since Julie and I both have cystic fibrosis, we're remaining compliant with the National Cystic Fibrosis Guidelines regarding patient interaction and cross-infection by recording via Skype. This podcast is made possible by Novartis, Vertex Pharmaceuticals, and the Digital Credit Union, so big thanks to them for always supporting BEF educational initiatives. All right, so last week we talked about college. This week we're going to take it a step further, not necessarily just about college, but we're going to talk about roommate and living with them. This is obviously it is a huge question that a lot of people with cystic fibrosis have as they're growing older, especially people who are about to graduate college, graduate high school, and head off into college. Do I live with a roommate or do I live by myself? There's definitely pros and cons to both. Julie and I have done both, so we're going to talk about that today. So, Julia, why don't you tell us a little bit about the way it worked for you?
Sure. So when I went off to Fordham in New York City, I was placed with three girls that were my suite mates. So I always had a single room, but I had suite mates and shared a living area and kitchen with them. And I loved that. I loved having that aspect of college experience, but also having my own personal private space. I think, you know, there are pros and cons even to having roommates like that, too, because one of my roommates, love you, but she's a mess. And she's self-proclaimed a mess, too, so she knows it. Never did her dishes, you know, didn't take the trash out. So I think from a cleanliness standpoint, I was like, you know, ready to move out on my own, which I did. So I didn't have the typical experience because I was living on my own with no roommates after my first year.
So to get that straight, you moved off campus after freshman year. So your sophomore, junior, senior, you lived off campus by yourself, and you still live by yourself today.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So that's we're clear there. All right. So now on my end, when I went off to college, I did live with a roommate. My best friend from high school also happened to go to Boston College, so we lived together. Made that happen by going to the Office of Disabilities, which is what we talked about last week, and they made sure that would happen. From there, we actually took on roommates. So the following year, I lived with three other guys, making four total, and we didn't have our own individual rooms. So my first year, it was me and Dave lived in the same, like our beds were 5 feet from each other. You know, we lived in the same room.
Okay.
We also had like a little common room as well, and that's like where I did my treatments in the morning and stuff like that, or at night when he was trying to sleep, or when someone was asleep, I was able to do treatments, or you know, vice versa. We were able to move around without sort of getting each other's way. Sophomore year, there were two bedrooms and a common room, so it was two people to a room, and then we obviously had a common room. And then my junior year, I lived with three other guys. We all had our own rooms because we lived off campus at Boston College. You live on campus essentially 3 years, off campus 1 year. So we all had our own room that junior year. And then by the time I was a senior, since I had a feeding tube and I was going to be coming back on campus, it was decided that I would have my, you know, I talked it over with the disabilities office and my parents and my doctor and my friends and all that stuff. It was decided that I was going to have my own single room within a larger suite. There were five of us total. I had my own room, and then the other four guys shared two rooms. So, because I had the feeding tube, and the pump obviously makes noise overnight and stuff like that. So that's the living situation that we're dealing with. And then by the time I graduated college, I actually wasn't doing well. My health was kind of like in a downward spiral. So I moved home, and I've been home ever since. I'd say now it's more so to save money from having to pay rent. Which is, that's, there's no shame there. So I, so it sounds like we've had different experiences with this. Personally, I loved living with the roommates. That was probably my favorite part of college.
Yeah. I didn't hate it. There were aspects of it that I absolutely loved. I'm a super social person, so having constant interaction was something that was very nice for me to have. but it also was what made me, what I think was the reason behind my first hospitalization and only hospitalization in college was constantly wanting to be social and therefore starting to skip treatments. You know, I think I started skipping treatments for a number of reasons. I was living with girls that didn't have to do them. So I kind of was like for the first time in my life, like mad about it. I know. I couldn't help it. But I also stopped doing treatments because, again, super social me, would stop doing treatments because I would hear them in the common area or the kitchen and want to talk and be a part of whatever was going on. When really I just needed to put a neb in it, you know?
Yeah, you know, I don't think I ever, I'm not sure I ever felt that. I never felt like I was missing out on something. I just sort of, I think growing up, the treatments were just always a very normal social thing for me. So it never really was a problem. And I was also doing my treatments in the common area. I wasn't doing it in the bedroom. So like if someone was ever walking around in the room or someone new was coming in the room or something like that, like I would be there doing my treatments. So they would just have to deal with it. So that was probably my, that what kept me doing my treatments. But I definitely did get sick. You know, I don't think that's, I don't know. I can't blame that on my roommates. You know, I think the dorm room situation, they were just gross. I mean, we were living amongst probably black mold. We were probably living amongst, you know, God knows whatever. And then also in the dorm rooms or in the dorm building, regardless, if one room is stricken with the stomach flu, the entire building.
Oh, yeah.
The entire building is going to have it. Awesome. So, you know, I think that, unfortunately, I think that was probably part of my decline in my health. And then junior year when I lived off campus, that was actually probably the best year I did health-wise. And that was the first year that I had my own individual room within a larger suite-style apartment. So I felt like I had the roommate experience still. And I, like I said, I loved the roommate, having the roommates, because it felt like I was a normal college kid. You know, I think growing up, I'd always sort of been sheltered and protected by my parents for a lot of good reasons, and I think a lot of people will see it and they feel that way because they grow up and they have to spend more time at home than other kids because they're doing treatments and you gotta have more responsibility at a younger age than most people because you gotta know when you're taking your meds, what the meds are for, how to take them, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, I do think that when I finally went to college and I was living amongst my peers, I felt like I had finally been able to break out of the shell, so to speak.
Yeah. And I have to say, I think by virtue of having the single room and being able to close my door for the nights where I really needed to catch up on sleep or I just needed that like extra nap or whatever, I was able to close my door and have that personal space, but still have the experience of roommates. So that was the ideal situation for me initially. I mean, I did move off campus just to...
But not every college offers that.
Correct,
you know, not every dorm room is set up like that. I do agree.
Totally.
That's definitely the ideal situation.
Right. In an ideal world, that would be cool.
Yeah, in the ideal world is, you know, to live in a suite where you have your own little space where you can deal with your meds and you can keep your meds safe and stuff like that. Freshman year is sort of a free-for-all. Like, everything was just out in the open and, you know, people had access. I mean, I definitely trusted my roommate. And I did the same thing my sophomore year when I also had a direct roommate as well in the larger suite. You know, I definitely trusted him not to go screw around with my stuff. But at the same time, it was a little bit of a free-for-all because there were just people everywhere and, you know, your meds are there. And I remember one night there was... We had like something happened in the dorm room where someone it was like a staff personnel of the college walked in and like my syringes and medicine were all kind of like on the little table that we ate lunch on or we ate meals on. And he kind of looked at me and was like, what is this? And I was just like, don't worry about it. Just come do what you're supposed to do here and don't ask questions. So, you know, things like that do happen. And, you know, living with roommates, I think there were also you also have to demand things from your roommates to keep yourself safe. And one thing that I absolutely demanded of them was that every year they get a flu shot. Like, that was a absolutely non-negotiable thing.
Huge must. Yeah. We did the same in my suite. And we also just did, like, there were some baseline cleanliness, even for the messy roommate, that we all, like, agreed upon and made sure happened. Like, I remember one of them was the fact that I, like, sponges in the kitchen sink, like, that is just a breeding ground for germs, in my opinion. It's awful.
Just throw them out. We had a thousand of those. You just go through those things like candy bars. You just one out of the wrapper right after the next. Oh yeah, yeah, totally.
So that was like, those were like little things that we made sure happened. And I think, yeah, you have to be cautious. And actually, after my hospitalization, my roommates were, you know, that much more attuned to what I was going through. Because again, like, this was brand new for all of them.
How did you tell them?
Move-in day.
Guess what?
Schlepped in my vest and I was like, hey, so I have this thing. And they were all great about it. And
the vest is how I told my roommates too. I mean, that's the easiest way to do it. You just strap the vest on and you're like,
totally. And then they want to try it.
Yeah, that's a big thing. Everyone's like, oh, that looks awesome. It's really not that cool.
Thrilling.
I think that, now, did you have contact with them beforehand? Did you ever, or did you just kind of show up and there they were?
A little bit. Like, we talked about what we would be bringing for the kitchen, but it didn't ever seem like the time to be like, oh, and by the way, I have a chronic lung disease. So
that you're going to have to deal with for the next year.
Yeah. So move-in day seemed the appropriate time. And it actually was a cool icebreaker because...
Like, were your parents there and were their parents there? Or was this a solo thing?
Pretty much solo. I think parents were in and out. But I remember, and she's one of my good friends to this day, I remember telling my friend Miranda, and that was actually what kind of prompted her to come out of her shell more. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, again, a conversation starter and... kind of like the basis of a good friendship, if the person's, you know, willing to like be a warrior for you.
I think you have to remember, and what people often forget when they go off to college, everyone else is just as nervous as they are.
Totally.
Like everyone is all of a sudden thrust into this new world, and you're not the only one doing it.
Yeah.
You know, at BC, I was there with 2,000 other kids that were going through the exact same thing that I was, albeit I was the only one that had to tell other people that I had CF. Everyone else is going into a brand new situation. I mean, I guess if you went to boarding school and like you did the Holden Caulfield thing, but you know, not everyone does that. So if you're going to college and you're living on your own for your first time, it's a brand new thing for everyone. So everyone's gonna have their own baggage that they're gonna have to spill eventually, because you know there's very few secrets. When you're living next door, when you're living 3 feet from someone.
And I think that is like a unique thing about moving in and having to share CF like right off the bat, is you kind of do develop a quick closeness with the people around you, because it is like a vulnerable thing to share. And it's kind of cool to be the one to be like, yeah, here we are. And like, let's get to it. Let's talk about.
Yeah, I mean, I remember looking back, and Dave and I, our parents dropped, our parents left, and Dave and I kind of looked at each other, we're like, all right, what the hell do we do now? I mean, yeah. It was like 4 in the afternoon, we had to feed ourselves somehow, so we went down to the cafeteria or something like that, but and then you meet new people there also. Like, the whole thing is just, everyone is just so outgoing. Well, everyone's like, there's a very fine line between everyone being super outgoing and like trying to figure out what's appropriate level of outgoing, you know? So
yeah. I'm still trying to figure that out.
Yeah. So, but now tell us why did you, you've lived without roommates since. So why the change?
I find that for me personally, I just found that it is easier for me mentally to just like get up, do my treatments and not have
other people
the distraction. Yeah. And because I know myself so well that like if my friend was going out to grab coffee, I'd be like, sure, I'll like do my treatment later. You know, like I'm just that kind of personality. So it does just suit me much better to be on my own.
Yes. I mean, that's a good point. I think you have to recognize what your limits and what your personality calls for.
Yes.
You know, when people ask me, do you recommend that my son or daughter live with a roommate in college? He or she may have CF. And I'm always like, well, does your son or daughter tell their friends about their CF to begin with? Because if you're going to hide your CF, you can't live with roommates.
Right.
You know, you gotta be put in a situation where you can succeed with other people living there. And, you know, and if you're just an introverted person, you know, perhaps living with a roommate is not the right idea.
Yeah.
But if you're someone who has been telling CF about, you know, you've been telling your friends about CF since you're early in life. In my case, I was on Sports Illustrated at the age of 2. You could just Google search Gunnar Esiason and you would find out. So, you know, I think there are different ways about, you know, going about this. And do I think it's safe? Yeah, I think it's totally safe as long as you can live with responsible roommates. I mean, to this day, my dad gives my college roommates crap about how I always got sick in college and things like that. And he always sort of, in a joking way, puts the blame on them where, you know, I don't really put any of the blame on them. It's all on myself, really. But, you know, at the end of the day, they, in a lot of ways, they were there for me in hard, critical situations. Because with CF, you know, the thing is, if you're living by yourself, you don't have the first responder.
Right.
You know, that's a risk that you take by living on your own.
Yeah. One of my roommates, actually, the day that I really knew that I needed a tune-up in my first semester, I knew I was going to the doctor, but I asked her to come with me because I could just tell that I wasn't feeling right. And thank goodness I did, because we went and I was asked to stay. And she went back to school for me and like packed a bag before my parents could get up here. So yeah, for sure, roommates come in handy in those situations, especially you know, when they're good people. Hopefully you
as if there's bad people out there too.
I mean,
no, I mean, I see what you're saying. You know, I definitely look back on a few situations. There was one time when I was just so totally sick that, like, you know, they have to be there to help you, like, get what you need.
Well, yeah, I don't mean good people versus bad people. I mean, like, people that are really willing to,
responsible,
like,
and they can be held accountable, and they can be, you can lean on them when you need to. You know, I think that's what I mean by a first responder. I don't mean someone that's going to, you know, bring you back CPR. To life or something like that. Yeah, I mean more of, like, someone that can go get you soup if you're not feeling well, or someone that can, like, if you got the stomach flu, someone that can sort of help you until you can, you know, come around and keep the fluids down or whatever. You know, I think, you know, with CF, there's things that happen beyond just the normal cold and the normal whatever that people deal with, that it's nice to have someone around that if, you know, you have to go to the pharmacy and pick something up, but you're too sick to even get out of bed.
Right.
You know, your buddy can go to the pharmacy for you.
Yeah, and I think we've talked about this with romantic relationships, but I think it's the same with, you know, friends.
If you're living with them, yeah.
You need to, and there needs to be a level of compassion and understanding that I think is unique, or I know is unique for living with someone with a chronic illness. And I think, certain people are willing and ready to take that on. And
absolutely. You know, I definitely have a lot of friends that I would lean on and consider as roommates, but then I also have a ton of friends that I really enjoy spending time with that, you know, it would be kind of a bumpy road to live with that person. And I mean them no disrespect, it's just because they have a lot going on in their own lives and, you know, it just wouldn't work out. So it's all about finding the right person, but that freshman year of college when you may not necessarily have a choice, that, you know, there's a few different risks involved, I think, is what I'm trying to say.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you and I are big advocates for being open about your CF. from the get-go, which I think is probably a good thing to come to terms with in college, just because I think it'll help in the long run. But
I totally.
Which is a pro for roommates too. So
yeah, I mean that'll help you do it, and it also it eventually gives you allies too, right? It gives you allies in situations where, you know, some you know you do have a bunch of friends over to your room, or a bunch of people that you may not know over to your room. Like, you know how those things go in college or in a party, and your buddy's someone like, oh, can my friend of a friend of a friend come? You know,
yeah,
it's hard to say no to those things.
Right.
So when you do have roommates, you have allies in situations where you may need them. You know, I look at the situations where I've had my friends ask other people or strangers to put out cigarettes or to be comfortable with leaving somewhere that may have been fun because someone was smoking or
right.
God knows what was going on. Or we walked into somewhere and there was vomit all over the floor. I mean, you know, this college is a vile, disgusting place.
It is.
Maybe not the most safe place for people with cystic fibrosis, but I do ultimately think that it's a very important rite of passage for people with CF, because a lot of times those moments are when you learn how to find yourself and get through difficult challenges without mom and dad being there by your side.
Right. Yeah. You learn how to take care of yourself, really. I mean, everyone's learning it too, but you're also learning on a whole new level.
Exactly. And if you're living with a roommate, you're also, for the first time, teaching somebody else
yes.
how to care for you as well. Because yeah. they become, as much as they are your friend and part of your support system, they're also taking on a role as a caregiver in some situations.
Right. Right. Yeah.
They may not be offering physical care, but they're sure as hell offering emotional care.
Oh, for sure. And that actually, I think, is where my friends came in after my hospitalization in a huge way. Like, they were all of a sudden more sensitive to my time for treatments, and they were like on me now. Like, they were like, let's go sit in your room together and I'll study while you, you know. And then if I tried to start talking to them, they'd be like, okay, shut it.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely had the experience as well where, you know, by the time I was a senior and I was living in I had my own room with a larger suite, it was not uncommon for someone else to walk in the room while I was doing treatments just so they could sit with me or do whatever. And
yeah,
you know, those are also like great social moments. You know, those are like you're separated from everyone else. You're talking with somebody, right? Those are good times to just talk about whatever, you know?
Right.
So in the end, I think I'm certainly an advocate for living with a roommate, especially if it's like a true college scenario. And it's one of those things that I think I miss most about college is living with a roommate. And it's certainly something if I didn't live with my parents, I would definitely probably do now.
Yeah. I would live with a roommate again. I would live with a roommate again. I loved living with roommates in college. It taught me a lot.
Even though you only did it for 1 year.
Yeah. But that had more to do with the rules, like, in the building. I was just like, I was over it, you know. But I would definitely recommend it for the first college experience, especially for the first year. Like, meeting people is just so much easier. And being open with your CF is easier when you have roommates. And I think that that's a valuable lesson to learn, too. Like, you learn so much by virtue of having roommates in college.
Oh, absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. You learn a lot about yourself, too.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Totally. I would do it.
Okay. So that's that. And then now on to Making It Matter. I came across a really cool story today. J.P. Thornton is a 12-year-old with CF. And he's developed quite a relationship with the University of North Florida basketball team, which, by the way, is the Ospreys. That is an awesome mascot.
Yes.
And so I guess JP is a huge UNF fan, and he was in pretty tough time in the hospital this past April. And the UNF basketball team, since then, has developed quite a relationship and has taken him under their wing. So that's a pretty cool thing for any 12-year-old. Let alone to have someone, you know, a CF. He's an inspirational leader for the team, and it's a really fantastic story. I'll put the link. Definitely watch the video. I can say that I probably never even heard of the UNF Ospreys, but now I have, and I'm a huge fan all of a sudden. So
yeah.
Definitely check them out. I'll put the link here and definitely take a look.
It's a great story. I loved this story.
So
go UNF Ospreys.
You tell them, Julia. So that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for tuning in for the 30th episode. I can't believe up to 30. The 30th episode of Making It Matter. Remember, you can follow along with our weekly podcast via my YouTube channel on GunnarSizen.com or JuliaRay.com. Also, make sure you check out the new podcast or the new video series that the Boomer Esiason Foundation is releasing, Cystic Fibrosis Step by Step with Gunnar Esiason. The first episode actually did feature Julia, so definitely take a look for that on YouTube. Now, you can also, back to this podcast, you can also subscribe to us on iTunes, on Instagram. And if you want to see us podcast about something specific, you can always send us an email. Julia's email is
JuliaRay@JuliaRay.com.
Or email me at gunnersblog@esiason.org. Or send either of us a message on Facebook. That's how we get to this topic, right? I mean, we got a question, and now we're answering it.
Yeah. You can ask questions on Instagram, too. We've gotten questions there, too. You can, any social media
Anything
way
where you can interact.
Find us. Yeah, do
make,
it.
Make Mark Zuckerberg proud.
Yes.
See?
Next thing is going to be a Making It Matter Snapchat. No, never. Never, people. That's not happening.
You don't want to see people a day in the life of Julia? Now? Not happening?
It's not thrilling, I promise.
I don't know. You had an audition today. It sounds pretty cool.
I did, yeah. All right, well, maybe we'll do it.
Maybe we can do it. You can do it with the Instagram Snap Story thing.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, I'll do that.
Day in the life. There you go. Boom. All right, so this is Gunnar Esiason and Julia Ray signing off.
Bye.